The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown. How you doing, man? You good? All good with you?
Doing well. Thursday night football tonight. Let's go, baby. NFL week two. Ready.
Philly and Minnesota. We'll talk about that here momentarily. It's Thursday. That means Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, in studio. Oh, it's not a studio. I'm sorry. At the bar. Right here live, we'll have him. JVT, who is Cole kicking it with his NFL model. He'll join us on the show today, as will Paul Carr, the return of Paul Carr, everybody, to talk Premier League football. Always nice to check in with Paul Carr. By the way, coming to terms with the fact that I might be attracted to one of those AI fans in at the Chargers game. Dealing with that this morning in my head while I do the show. So while we do the show for 2 hours, that's what I'm just worried about.
We were discussing pre-show the models who are using AI versions of themselves to make money. That's a good way to go.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. I'm like, that fan sure is something. Yesterday, three of the four NL Cy Young competitors, or at least the four at the top of the board, the shortest shots on the board, were in action. And it started out, Justin Steele did not play last night, but it started out with Spencer Strider and the Atlanta Braves taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. And Spencer Strider had to use 36 pitches in the first inning against the Phillies, gave up a run, and you're like, well, 75-1 ain't long enough, or ain't long enough, quite frankly, for that. But then he settled down. He had himself a great outing. He went six innings, gave up just that one earned run, and He knocked his ERA down to 3.73. And then for a moment there, you were like, 75-1 is out there. That was a pretty good performance. Are we sure this is done? Do I want to make this bet? And then Zach Gallen goes out for the Diamondbacks. He gets rocked by the Mets. He goes five innings, gives up six earned runs on seven hits. And you're like, do I really not want to make this Strider bet at 75-1? And then Blake Snell, on the heels of his performance, his great performance against the Astros, goes out, takes on the L.A. Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. I was on the Dodgers' first five last night. I'm figuring this is the night where it all collapses for Blake Snell. Nope. Six scoreless innings in which he gives up just one hit, eight Ks against just one walk, which was his bugaboo all year long, leads the majors in walk rate. He lowers his ERA to 2.43. And you know what? Thank you, Blake Snell, for preventing me from making one more bad bet on Spencer Strider at a really long number. It's Blake Snell's. It is Katie Bar the door. You look at the numbers now. It's Blake Snell at minus 350 at DraftKings. Justin Steele, 2-1. Zach Gallen somehow is 18-1. Don't bet that.
Yeah.
And Spencer Strider is 70-1. He actually came down a little bit. But yeah, for the Justin Steele people, okay, maybe you're not out. Maybe you're not. But it's looking more and more like Snell. This from Optistats. Mm-hmm. We never put up a stat from Optistats before. Last 20 starts for Blake Snell, 1.31 ERA. 12.54 Ks per nine, which is drifting towards Strider-esque.
Right. Yeah,
not quite, but you get the idea.
Good, yeah.
He's the first pitcher in MLB history to have a sub 1.50 ERA with 12.50 plus Ks per nine over a 20 start span in a single season. So tip of the cap, really, even for those of us who had Strider tickets and were so passionately in the camp of Strider for all kinds of great reasons, advanced metrics, but it should go to Blake Snell. He has done this. The Astros-Dodgers Kinyella is what makes you tip your cap. You're like, all right, dude, that's where you were supposed to crash. Yeah. You not only did you not crash, you went through those two games with flying colors.
Yeah, look, it was a bet I made as well. You know, I don't make a ton of baseball bets, but I thought we had a lot of great, on Strider. We had a lot of great, conversations with a lot of smart people about it. I mean, when you're making bets at the time we were, you're expecting water to find its level with a couple of these guys with what they're doing, right? You mentioned the strand rate over and over again with Blake Snell. We talked about the ERA and all the strikeouts with Spencer Strider. And we took a shot. We thought it was a good number, a good time for what we were looking at advanced metrics-wise. Just didn't play out that way. Tip the cap to Blake Snell.
I did make three bets yesterday. Bit of a betting spree.
You did? Yeah, you did.
First, right after a numbers game, I got off air, right behind us here at the D. We have a Circa book, of course. I did the Luis Arraez thing in football. Now, Luis Arraez, another bet that will not get there, by the way. I have him at 80-1, which at the time was a great number. He was flirting with 400. By the way, I think he's hitting 349 now. Shows you how tough.
What a loser.
What a loser. He's so bad at baseball. But it shows you how tough it is to get to 400. But the theory being, if he did get to 400, that it's something that hasn't been done in baseball since 1941. It's such a hallowed mark. Ted Williams doing it in 1941. That he would be, that voters could not help themselves but vote for him for MVP. I'm going to do the same thing with Tyreek Hill. I just did. MVP, 75-1. Tyreek Hill, obsessed with getting 2,000 receiving yards. He started out with 200-plus in week one, more than 10% of the way there. And I believe if Tyreek Hill gets to 2,000 receiving yards, that this MVP award that suddenly in the last 4 years we've sort of decided passively, tacitly, that it's some kind of quarterback award and that the offensive player of the year goes to a non-quarterback, I think he would buck that. So I grabbed Tyreek at 75-1. I mentioned on Guessing Lines that Puka Nacua of the Rams not only caught 10 passes, but got 15 targets from Matthew Stafford. It's a little bit of a salty bet because it was, you know, when I mentioned it, it was higher. And then even yesterday, it was like 30-1. Before I could even put the money down, it's 25-1.
Right.
So obviously, Cooper Kupp's health will be the bugaboo in this one, but I'll take my shot at 25-1 on Puka Nacua at Offensive Rookie of the Year, 25-1. And then yesterday, the Giants with just another magical, improbable comeback. They take down the Guardians 6-5 after trailing that game 5-1. I got them at plus 220 to make the playoffs in what is just an amazingly awesome race for the final NL wildcard position. The Phillies and Cubs better watch themselves, or they may drop down into that. Right now, the Phillies and the Cubs inhabit the number one and two wildcard spots in the National League. But the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Marlins, and the Reds each have 71 losses at this point, with the Diamondbacks and the Reds a half game in front of the Giants and the Marlins. Giants and D-backs, really the two teams that control their own destiny here more than the others. But really, at this point, you got 16 or 15 ball games left, depending on the team. The Phillies and Cubs, as I said, just above the D-backs, Reds, Giants, and Marlins for that last one. So it's a great, great race in the NL. So I took my shot at the Giants with the Giants at plus 220, because remember, they have all the tiebreakers against the other three teams, D-backs, Reds, and Marlins. Reds and Marlins clinched for the season. D-backs still have something to say about that in a two-game set coming up, huge two-game set between the two teams in Arizona next week, where if the Giants won one of the two, they would still maintain the tiebreaker against the D-backs. Oh, and there's one tennis pick today. I am on Sophia Kenin in San Diego, Kelly. Once again, San Diego. I'm on Sophia Kenin. Don't really understand why she is the dog at plus 115 against Anastasia Potapova, who did beat Anjabur yesterday, but that was really more about Anjabur's serve being completely exploitable. Sophia Kenin showing signs of her 2020 Australian Open self, where she won her one slam. So I got Kenin today at plus 115. As far as the game tonight, the Vikings at the Eagles. Vikings coming off that horrific loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they were minus 3 in turnovers. The Eagles coming off that win, which was really buoyed by the turnovers at the beginning, and then they held on for dear life. I believe I said on Guessing Lines that the Patriots had about 75 chances to win that game. Yeah. Couldn't get it done. Eagles are 6-point favorites. This is down to 6 now at home against the Vikings.
Yep.
Just to look at, for those who haven't kept track, the Eagles injury report as of yesterday evening.
Ungood.
Running back Kenneth Gainwell is out. Gainwell is out with ribs, but, you know, I don't think that's a real issue. DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny, probably better backs anyway. The real issues come on defense. Defensive tackle Fletcher Cox, questionable. N'Kobe Dean, their standout linebacker, is out with the foot injury, so they're going to have to rely on undrafted free agent Christian Ellis in his stead. That ain't a good downgrade.
And Dean's been the green dot leader on the defense, getting the
plays
going.
He's the middle linebacker, yep. Yeah, absolutely. And then in the secondary, both James Bradbury, their cornerback, is out with a concussion, and Reed Blankenship out with a rib injury. And, of course, the Vikings rely on the passing game with Kirk Cousins at the helm. Say what you will about Kirk Cousins, but obviously he's got super talented targets. So that's what the Eagles are dealing with. The Vikings, they're dealing with stuff themselves. And you right. were just saying yesterday off air, I think, which is an appropriate comment, which is you can't believe how after 1 week all these teams are like completely banged
it's
up.
It's every year. You know, yeah. like every year I feel like we sit here after week one and I'm looking at an injury report and it's like how do the Eagles have this many injuries already? You know, like there are worse teams. Of course, Bill Belichick's already up to his old ways sure. of like his injury report is this long where there's three names on everybody else's. But yeah, Minnesota, they're dealing with they got Bradbury, their center will be out for tonight, and then Christian Darrisaw, questionable offensive tackle for them. So yeah, offensive line problems for them tonight.
Well, Darrisaw's the big one. Bradbury is their center. He's out with a back injury. But the thing about Bradbury is he gave up the third most sacks by a center last season. So I don't know how huge of a loss that is. Darrisaw's the big one, right?
This is always like when you have the crappy college team where it's like, well, they only have three returning starters. And you're like, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I say that all the time. Everyone's like, they got 18 returning starters back. I'm like, were they any good? Weren't they like 3-8?
Yeah, like that's not a good thing.
That's my biggest thing with that. Christian Darrisaw, their left tackle, that's the big injury, as you said, going up against that Eagles pass rush, yeah. who, again, we mentioned is banged up in their own right. And then Marcus Davenport is out as well. So, you know, if you look back at last week's advanced stats, they generated a 23% pressure rate, the Vikings did against Baker Mayfield, which ain't good, especially when they blitzed at the highest rate.
48% of their blitz.
I have it at over 50%.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, add all of that to the mix for tonight's game. Again, I don't have a pre-flop play on it. I don't think you do either.
I did. I tied the Eagles into a teaser earlier in the week. Injuries did not go my way. I would be staying away from it now, but I'm already pot committed.
This will be in-game. Too many injuries on both sides, too many question marks for me. Not grabbing the Eagles in Survivor either, because there's obviously Thanksgiving and Christmas considerations there as well. We'll come back and we'll start with JVT next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Also, the Sports Betting Network. What did I just say? The Sports Bidding Network? What did I just say right there? We get tweets at
Beating
the
Book. What'd you bid on
that? That's right. Anything you want to bid on, we're your folks. You came to the right place. Sean Boland, right? So this was after the Strider start and before the Snell start. He's like watching the Dodgers in San Diego. They brought up how the voting is a very East Coast bias in player awards, and how Snell, Steele, Strider could come down to that. Strider had a great night, still 75-1. Isn't that a play? Small bet, but still bet? No, I wouldn't after what we just talked about. I think Snell, too good, and he deserves, again, the tip of the cap. B-Man, I was wondering, Parlay no longer on the Megapod. He has a conflict. He's a conflict. That's why he's no longer on the Megapod. We're happy to have Will Hill, but we love Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers on this show.
Hey, we love Jeff.
That's my dude.
On tubes.
That's my dude.
Bigger and better things, we hope for him.
Yeah. I don't know about better, but yeah, no, great. So off to better. Off to bigger things, maybe. I don't know about bigger, but off to things.
We wish the best for you.
Absolutely, we do. Grandpa Betts. Oh, this was just talking about like the grass versus turf, because this came up with the Aaron Rodgers Achilles injury, and everybody's now, they want all the stadiums to be natural grass. No one has ever debated that natural grass is better than artificial turf of any kind. No one has ever debated that. The Michael Irvin concussion on the turf in Philly is the one that sort of leaps off the page. The point that those of us, Dr. Chow was on the show the other day, the point that he was making was, oh, sure, you know, obviously that would help, but it's not reason number one why this happened. Achilles injuries just kind of happen and no one knows why. It might have had more to do, as Dr. Chow was sort of saying, you know, with a glint in his eye, it might have more to do with a 300-pound guy knocking you down and that happening in this case. But it is interesting that the Aaron Rodgers injury specifically created this outcry. J.K. Dobbins is in a hospital somewhere going, hey, what about mine? That was on natural grass. Why didn't y'all say anything when, you know?
The other part about it, too, is I don't know if you caught this, but, like, they completely replaced the turf in MetLife this offseason with the newest, best form of turf that's supposed to prevent this kind of stuff. So after one game, we have that reaction.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Hey, let's maybe give it a little longer.
C. Chubb. Gil, where was your boy Oz the Mentalist with the Rodgers Achilles? That's a good point. I don't think that's Oz's thing, though, to predict an injury like that. And then finally from Michael Burns, thanks for the tennis pick. I got +120. And then Mike Rouse with a great question, because I had just bet the Giants +220 to make the playoffs. He said DraftKings has +360 for the Giants to be the number 6 seed specifically. Thoughts? It's a great call, Mike Rouse, because the Cubbies are too clear of the number 6 position, too ahead of the number 6 position, and the Cubs would have a tiebreaker over the Giants as well. So not a bad call by you at all. Let's talk to JVT. He's our senior NBA analyst. He's also doing college football shows on the weekend. He's also NFL modeling. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at me, JVT. How you doing, John?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
We're doing very well. I'm very excited about your NFL model, because, and let me just say this right off the top, too. I have a great deal of respect for you for doing this, because you had no issue whatsoever with saying, you know what, this is something I don't know about. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to do it with exhaustive research. And whatever the results, I'm going to learn from it. And so far, the results are good. But just from me to you, I respect you, man. Good job on that.
I appreciate it. And I do hope, because we've gained a lot of traction and a lot of attention for this thing. I think that a lot of it was the success. For people who don't know, you know, if you bet every edge, the model spit out for week 1, you went 12-4 and the best bets were 4-1. But the whole thing that I want to reiterate, and I've been reiterating for an entire time, is I do think in the long run, this might be a losing effort, but it's more about the process than the results. This is fun. It's a cool thing. There's different challenges. I just wrote about the most recent batch of challenges, which is, you know, how do you adjust now with a very small sample size of data from a new season and what you do now moving forward here into week 2. So I'm really excited to see how this folds out, but I've had a lot of fun doing it. So I appreciate you saying that, because I think there is a really cool process here at hand. And maybe this is something that I'll start to do for real as we move forward in NFL seasons. But at the very least, I'm just happy that it got off to a good start, because it's just really cool to see the work pay off for at least 1 week. We'll see what the other weeks bring.
Yeah, you were 4-1 in the contest play that reflects the model, as I understand it. What was the one loss?
Buffalo. Buffalo was the one loss.
You didn't even deserve that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you would have told me 4-0 going into Monday and Aaron Rodgers gets hurt 4 snaps in, I'm like, cool. JVM off to a 5-0 start.
What has the model spit out for week 2? Can you share?
So and this is up on the website of VSiN.com, and this is part of like the process that we're talking about here, Gil, which is just like I feel very conflicted about what week 2 brings, because there are about 8 games that are right in line with the market. So it makes me feel pretty good about, okay, the model is kind of taking the right steps. But the edges that it has spit out are massive. And one of the biggest ones, it's got Tampa Bay by 10.9 points against the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's clearly a very big anomaly here. But if you go around and you look at the rest of the board, you know, when the first line posted Philly -7.5, it had Philly by 9. The Chargers are what, 3-point favorites? They're projected to win by 4.8. You know, it's a lot of these numbers are kind of right in line with where the market is, but some of the edges are really big. So, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers thing really does scare me. I think that there's something wrong here. Now, I think very clearly the model very much dislikes the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. It had them as underdogs last week by about 3.5 points to the Green Bay Packers. It's got them as 10.89 point underdogs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's part of it. And if you go down to the bottom, too, I think we spit this up. This Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's also the second biggest edge on the board. The Steelers are now 2.5 point underdogs at home. And while initially you're going to say, okay, well, that's a pretty big edge, if you compare it with the look ahead line, which is actually Steelers -1, it is kind of in line with where the market was there. So I don't feel too bad about that one. But when you see big edges like the Buccaneers by 10.9 points, it does leave me a little worried, but the exercise is play the biggest edges. And so the Bucs will be on the card this weekend.
All right. Well, we clarified the Pittsburgh one. Where's your edge, on Pittsburgh or on Cleveland?
Pittsburgh. So the Steelers, the JVM's got them favored by about 4.3 points.
Okay. The JVM. That's the Jonathan
Von Model.
John Von Model is what we're calling it. I love that's that. Right.
Yeah.
Jonathan Von Model.
For people at home, if you're maybe watching, if you're watching or driving too, on the right-hand column, that's projected home margin of victory is what's in that column.
Okay. All right.
So, and I know I've got a lot of questions really quickly. A negative number means that the road team is favored there. So if you see like Chargers negative 4.83 in the projected home margin of victory, that's a projected home margin of victory for the away team, essentially.
Okay. So Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh will be two of your five picks this weekend.
Yes.
Based on the Jonathan Von Model. I like it.
And Chargers with the rest of us. Let's go.
And Chargers
or
with...
maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's enough of an edge there for them.
Well, so we'll do with Kelly. What we do is the contest numbers will come out. So we'll rerun, you know, how much the edge is compared to the contest numbers, and we'll play those. As of now, I think the biggest plays were going to be, let's see, the Steelers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, and then there's a fifth that I am not remembering. Oh, I think it might be the Packers, but I'll have to double check. But yeah, for sure, those four are going to be on the card.
JVT, you're our senior NBA analyst, obviously. Do you plan on doing this for the NBA?
Yes, so I am currently writing the NBA guide, but I do have the workings of a player model that's kind of sitting in an Excel doc as well. That has proved to be very, very challenging. So I'm really hoping to get that off of the ground before the NBA season starts, but at the very least have it at some point ready for the NBA season. But that's presenting a whole bunch of different challenges because that's got to be player-based. You can't do team-based models in the NBA given the moving parts almost every single night, you know?
Yeah, and I would even say, you know, working with Dr. Bob, the honor and being privileged enough to work with him for so many years, that's been his key to basketball, both NBA and college, throughout the years, is figuring out the value of each player and the replacement player. It's kind of what it sets him apart in that. So I think you're definitely right about that. College football, you have the two shows this weekend at VSiN. Again, a live show on Saturday, then a opening lines show, for lack of a better term, on Sunday. What do you like this weekend? Did you bet anything pre-flop in college football?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one that I do have for sure at the top of the list, let's go to our own backyard. UNLV is at home. They are playing host to Vanderbilt. Vandy's about a 4.5-point favorite. The market, if you've watched every week, it reminds you of Texas last year, Gil. So every Sunday on the opening line show, Texas would be bet by those who set the market, right? Market would move every time in Texas' direction. And yet, as we saw down the stretch, Texas was not the team that the market rated them to be. We are seeing that now with Vanderbilt. 17.5-point favorite against Hawaii. They end up not covering that game. 5.5-point favorite against Alabama A&M. They don't cover that game. The market moves in their direction against Wake Forest. They don't cover that game. I think the market is too high on what Vanderbilt is here. UNLV is coming off of a road loss to Michigan, but they do have some positive signs. And now back at home against, I think, a very overvalued team by the betting market, I'll take my shot once again. I bet against Vandy last week with Wake, and I'm going to come back again and take 4.5 with UNLV at home against the Commodores.
All right. 20 seconds. Anything on the Colorado game? Your instinct on that?
My instinct is the goofy meme on Twitter. I'll effing do it again. I bet Nebraska last weekend and Jeff Sims was atrocious. They should have been at least tied. And I'll effing do it again with Clay Millen and the Colorado State Rams. Let's go.
I didn't know you had a goofy version of yourself on Twitter. I didn't know that was your Twitter persona.
Now you're showing your age. No, it's like Goofy from Disney. It's a good meme. I'll send it to you guys.
Oh, I thought it was just a goofy JVT. Hey, good on you again, John. That's awesome. And I will be tracking as will everybody else. And you're right. In the end, the process is what matters. Thank you for joining us, man.
Really appreciate it, Gil. Thank you.
Jonathan Montobel, everybody, at me, JVT. Not only our senior NBA analyst, but doing college football shows and doing an NFL model. Paul Carr joins us. Premier League picks on the other side. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa signature card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa signature card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. That's g.bank/VSIN. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy as well. Let's talk to Paul Carr. We didn't get a chance to talk to Paul last week. He joins us now as we are live at Bar Canada at the D from his lair in Topeka, Kansas, where he's going to talk some soccer with us. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. Good to see you again. Kelly, give me a drink from one of those taps behind you, please.
No problem. What do you need?
I don't know what I got. They probably don't have Boulevard there.
Hey, you want Whatever a Molson? I'm going to get you a Frosty Molson, okay?
Works for me.
I didn't understand anything about that exchange. It was all Greek, Canadian beer. All Greek to me. Hey, before we talk soccer, Paul, your Miami Dolphins come out and beat the Chargers 36-34. We've talked to you about them so many times in the past. Obviously, the defense gave up a whole bunch. It is a solid, powerful Chargers offense. How did you feel about it all in the end? Do you have renewed hope that this is the year?
I mean, yes. I feel like all the joy. Like, look, it's a great win. There's drama. The offense looks spectacular. Everything just has this asterisk of, is Tua going to stay healthy? Because if you told me Tua's playing 15 games, then I'd feel great about, you know, division winning chances, things like that. But it's just kind of, I think all Dolphins fans are kind of living in fear that the next play is going to be the one where something happens. But until then, we're going to try to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's saying. That's the line, right? If Tua stays healthy. We were talking about this off air yesterday, right? That it
irritates me.
It irritates you.
It irritates me because I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, that the credit that he deserves.
I agree.
Because look, as a Dolphins fan, I understand it. Like, yes, that's something you want to be scared of. But it's in the national media scope, I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves because we all expect that he's going to just crumble at some point. Well, it's like, well, it's not a chronic knee or ankle injury. This guy, he got hit in the head a couple times last year. It could be something that never bothers him again in the rest of his career. Yeah, we act like he's an injury risk every time he steps foot on the field. I get
why people are concerned. It is a head injury. It is a concussion. It could be the last time he's ever on the field again, too. But I agree with your bigger point, which is somehow in the wash of that, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. You agree
and
with that?
I think he's good in slightly different ways than a lot of quarterbacks. You know, some people attribute it to McDaniel's offensive scheme, which is a lot of quick decisions, quick throws, find the target, which is true. You also have to have the right quarterback to be able to do that. I don't think you can just plug in any quarterback, even a starting quarterback in the NFL, who could make the same decisions and the right decisions at quite the same speed. So he's doing slightly different things than your kind of traditional drop back, go through your four reads, find the right open receiver sort of thing. It's a little bit different, and I think that's another reason that people are a little bit slow to give Tua credit.
Paul, I'm looking over the Premier League table. I used table correctly, Kelly.
Nailed it.
Premier League table. Four games in here. Obviously, Man City, the lone unblemished at the top here. Four wins, no draws, no losses. Before we get to your picks here, though, could be a weird weekend of sorts. Tell us why.
So it's always weird. They play 3-4 games, then they take an international break. So Premier League was off last weekend because players were off. You know, U.S. players were here playing friendly. South America guys were playing qualifiers, other Nations League, all these different things around the world. So just international break. And on top of that, Tuesday, Wednesday is when Champions League starts up. So that obviously only affects four Premier League teams, but it's, you know, four of the top ones. So guys are coming back from break. Sometimes they might be nicked up a little bit. They traveled thousands of miles. It can just be a little weird. It's tough to keep track sometimes who's healthy, who's not. So this is always, early in the season especially, a little bit of a proceed with caution type of week.
Okay. All picks on Saturday. All picks in 2 days. What do you got?
I'm going to start with an over 2.5 in Fulham and Luton Town. This one's fairly straightforward. You know, Fulham games have the second most expected goals this season. Luton's have the eighth most. Fulham's defense is especially suspect, the worst in the league so far, giving up the best shots to opponents. So the average shot quality of an opponent shot is almost twice the league average shot. So that's not good from a Fulham perspective. It's good from an over perspective, though. And Luton's fifth in that category. So you got a couple of teams, not great defensively. Fulham scuffling. They need to win this game. This is a home game against a newly promoted team. Luton Town's going to see this as an opportunity, though, to get a point, even three. So I think both teams will open up a little bit. I like over 2.5 at -115.
You also anticipate a lot of goals in the Man U match.
Yeah, Brighton has been one of the more entertaining teams so far this season. The most goals, 18 in four games, and their games have had the most expected goals. So those underlying numbers kind of back up the raw numbers. They're good. They're structured in attack. They have 12 goals themselves, and the defense is a bit of a mess. And that's pretty much exactly what you look for in an over type of game. Manchester United, third in expected goals per game. They're going to have a couple defenders out. They have Champions League coming up next week, so it's possible they'll be cautious with a couple of those guys at the back. So over 3.5 goals is what I'm doing here. +105. Three of Brighton's four games have hit this already this season. So over 3.5, +105.
All right. Your third pick has to do with a double chance. Explain to the uninitiated what a double chance bet is.
Old double chance. It's the same thing as plus half a goal. Different books listed different ways. Sometimes even listed both ways. But I like Brentford on the double chance. So Brentford win or draw against Newcastle. Newcastle was top four last year. Expected to be in that realm this year. But they're kind of struggling so far. Just 3 points from four games. A little bit unlucky. Probably deserved better against Liverpool and Brighton. But their attack hasn't been as good. They've got midfield injuries. And I just think that opens up the door for Brentford here, even though Newcastle's at home. Brentford's just a really good team, a really solid kind of mid-table or upper mid-table type of team. Haven't lost this season. And I think they can go in here and get a point, especially if you're giving me plus 150 on the double chance. I'll take that for Brentford here.
All right. Fulham, Luton Town, over 2.5 goals. Man U, Brighton, over 3.5 goals. And the Brentford double chance versus Newcastle. Paul got plus 150, but always shop around for the best number. It's all about the best number. Those are his three-pack of plays on a Saturday in the Premier League. Messi in Miami. We haven't talked about this in a while. What's the feeling on all that now? Obviously, it was a celebrity-filled thing at the outset. Still as much buzz in the air?
Pretty much, because, obviously they're going on the road to different places, and, wherever he's going, tickets are going for an exorbitant amount. Like his first game down in Dallas, tickets were like $800+, on the secondary market just to get in. So it's continuing, and Miami's playing well. They're still below the playoff line in MLS.
Yeah.
But, once you get in, you're in, and it's a knockout tournament.
Well, so that's the question. There's no bet on Messi specifically for like most goals, right? Because the season was too far in. But is there a bet on Inter Miami at all that you would make?
I haven't checked the prices in the past few days, but as of like last week, they're still pretty long, and long in a reasonable sense. Like, sure, you want to take a flyer on it. It feels a little out of whack. It's just so hard to judge this team. They were the worst team in MLS before he and his compatriots arrived. And now you can make a case they're the best team in the East, or at least have the potential. I do think they're running hot. Like, they're exceeding all their underlying numbers quite a bit. So I think they're running a little bit hot. So I'm not in love with whatever price you're going to get for a title run or something, but it's also not the worst play given where they are in the standings.
Yeah. They are plus 650.
Plus 650.
Yeah. Third behind FC Cincinnati.
They're going to have to get through.
And LAFC. Yeah.
Plus 650 is not sexy enough, is it?
It's not. It's really not. They're going to have to get through like four knockout rounds. At least, which, single games can obviously pretty close to a coin flip, even if you're a decent sized favorite in MLS. So plus 650, not super appealing. But it was over plus 1,000 a week or two ago.
Before you go, because this comes up every time we sort of drift into an MLS conversation, which is not always, but it's once in a while we do. There is, I know from some folks who bet soccer seriously, there is a sentiment that MLS is the toughest thing to bet on a day-to-day basis. Whenever I throw that out, there's inevitably somebody on Twitter who says, it's the opposite. It's the easiest thing to bet. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I'd lean toward the hardest just because the parity is there. In pretty much any European league, you have your top, 2, 4, 6 teams and kind of the rest. And so there's just kind of some defined characteristics of each team from a financial standpoint, a quality standpoint. And MLS, that is much tighter. Your 1 through 29 is, probably the same as like 6 through 12 or something in the Premier League as far as kind of a gap goes. So I lean toward that. I've heard the same thing you have, where there's some people who they can use that and find an edge. I haven't been able to do anything like that. It's just it's a very congested thing that changes so much with a player or two or a suspension or whatever it might be.
Have you followed Preston Johnson's Crawley Town team in League Two at all?
I've not. How are they doing?
Mid-table. They're right in the middle there. I think they're, I can tell you exactly, they're 3-2-2 on the young season. So,
all right. They're hanging around.
I'm just worried about his mental health. I'll get him back on the show here. We'll talk to Preston about all the pressures that it comes with being a Yank who owns a soccer team in England, no matter.
It's a lot. They'll get on you if the team starts struggling a little bit.
He tried, because he wanted to be the most innovative with crypto and all kinds of stuff. And so obviously he's been dealing with it. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always, man.
You bet. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Crackman, Unscripted, next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game. Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at Bar Canada at the D. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Hey, do not forget that football, of course, being back in full swing with another week of epic games, that we've got you covered on the action for every single one of them. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin as well in the house. And of course, we do it earlier now, just, you know, about, 15 minutes earlier. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Crackman. Billy.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good. I lost 4 pounds so far. It's a little hot in here.
Sweat it out of you.
Yeah. No, I understand, though. My wife calls us, put the lights up high. I get it.
Oh, it's good. Man. We got to talk one thing before we talk anything else.
Hey.
Hacking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hack a casino, not hack a shack. Hack a casino.
Hack a casino.
Yeah, how about the Caesars paying the $30 million? You know, I was thinking, how can you pay? Why would you pay? And someone very smart said to me, you have to pay. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they'll get their IT department in there. They'll fix the system so they think it's not hackable again, but they do pay. And he reminded me of some places offshore that paid giant, giant things in the past.
Yeah.
One of the biggest sports books paid a giant amount, too.
What we're referring to, by the way, for those who missed sort of the headline here, is that this week, MGM Properties has been hacked. Holes in their cybersecurity. And if you go to any MGM property, not just here, by the way, any MGM property anywhere, like a global sort of thing, there are systems, and I'm talking about massive systems, that are down. 2 days ago, the sports book, they wouldn't even let you in at the Aria. Yesterday they did, but like I was explaining on air yesterday, I went to take out food at Din Tai Fung at Aria. You're not allowed to take out food. You're allowed to dine in, but we can't do anything about takeouts. If you go to the cafe, right, all the signs are down. ATMs aren't, those are the benign ones. The ATMs aren't working. Guests can't check into rooms.
Yeah, how about the front desk? It's on your honor.
No,
I'm not joking.
That was the one I read about yesterday.
I read about tweets. Tom, like literally on your honor. One of the employees put something they shouldn't have put on Twitter, but one of the employees put it on there, and of course I'm repeating it. But it was literally checking in on your honor. I was like, they'll take the credit card number and charge it when the systems come back up. Wow.
I heard they had security guards standing at the door asking people, are you checking out? Like that.
Oh, right. I heard about that, too.
Basically on your honor system. Hey, are you checking out? Yeah.
And so what Bill was referring to is that this apparently happened. This is according to Las Vegas Local. Is it Las Vegas Locally? Is that the name of the Twitter?
Yeah, that's a good Twitter. That's doing a really good Twitter handle. I don't know who it is, a guy or a girl.
Great job.
It's a great Twitter handle, Vegas Locally.
The report was that this happened to Caesars, and Caesars paid the $30 million just to have this go away. And we never heard about it.
Yes.
But now, do you remember, like, I was bringing this up yesterday. Do you remember after the Super Bowl how everybody, there was no money in anybody's accounts? I wonder if that was when it happened.
Interesting.
I don't, because people were worried at the time.
Wow.
So I don't know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I had zero amount.
Wishnev was like, texting every hour on the hour. Where's my money? And I was like, it'll be fine. But who knows? Maybe that was it. But they don't know if employees, I was talking to some MGM employees yesterday. They don't know if they're going to get paid at the end of the week.
Actually, I think I seen Las Vegas Locally or posted that one was one thing they did. They said everyone's getting paid.
Everyone's getting paid.
Yeah. That's one I seen last night.
Read.
Yeah. You can't penalize the employees. I mean, even though it's, you know, something that they would probably, you know, be.
Well, I didn't mean penalize. I mean, no, just didn't have a system.
Penalize people live week to week.
Yeah.
People live week to week. Let me just tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
In this gambling town, especially, something that a subject people don't like to talk about. We're in a gambling town. We're in vice capital. Drinking, drugs, woman, gambling. Sorry, ma'am. I don't mean to say. But we are in a town that that's vice central. So, yes, these employees, lots of them live week to week. You guys seen Casino. I mean, you know, you've seen the little man, or the real life's name's Tony Spilotro, loaning money to the dealers and the floor people and stuff, because they live week to week. So, no, it this can really hurt people. Amazing the directions this show can go.
Let me just, well, I figured it was something we had to talk about. Let me just ask this, though, and maybe I'm ignorant completely about this, but shouldn't companies of this size, right, regardless of the, you know, we're talking about the biggest of the big here with MGM and Caesars, wouldn't companies of that size pay top dollar,
you would think,
for cybersecurity?
Listen,
like, just as a baseline for everything.
Gil, you would say that, but yet I have had problems in casinos where I needed security to come help. And they send an 80-year-old security guard who I want to help. I want to actually hold him up. Never mind. You know what I mean? Like, so no, the casinos do not pay well.
Yeah.
On all different levels, casinos do not pay well. That's why sometimes you need unions, you need people stepping in. Now, I'm not saying it because I know waitresses here compared to waitresses home. I'll always consider home in Jersey. Waitresses here, they're going to get mad at me for saying this. They're in a union. They get paid really good money per hour, and then they're, of course, they live on their tips. You know, a good waitress at a place like the Wynn, or, you know, a Resorts World, or a good strip property, they're making six figures a year. So I'm not trying to say really across the board, but certain departments, it shocks me. I've had problems in casinos, you know, in the past, and you know, trying to help people, trying to break up a fight in resorts in Atlantic City.
Oh yeah,
I was at Arizona Charlie's over here. I know, what am I doing there? But I was at Arizona Charlie's, and there was a big problem in there with the hustlers and fleas, and I wound up being the bad guy in the end. They wound up, like, literally wanting to throw me out because I'm telling them how to do their job. So different casinos, it's amazing. You would think they would pay top dollar. It's a great subject. But that's why I wondered why Caesar paid. I was like, well, don't you just revamp your system and maybe try to get in and try to fix it? No, because every day it's costing them more than $30 million.
Yeah.
System-wide. You could imagine with MGM. Now you're telling me. I thought it was just Vegas.
No, it's more than Vegas.
It's surprising they didn't pay $100 million already and just get it over with. And then have guys go in there and revamp the system and hire the top guys in the world, the best, you know, hackers from, by the way, they're probably overseas. You know that. They're not in the country.
I'm not smart enough to know if they'll ever get caught, but it feels like they'll never get caught.
There was some group that's already taken credit that, yes, I believe was based overseas for it. The only thing I could think of with the Caesars one was, is it one of those where you say, hey, I want this number, and we're going to help you guys out afterward, because if we can get into your system, many other groups
maybe,
like us can. And maybe that's another incentive for, you know, a company like Caesars to pay up. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, but it's something that really, this opens a lot of people's eyes, especially if Caesars paid. This opens a lot of eyes. Like, wow, are we really in 2023? We're not at a point where we can't get that top level IT department.
Well,
it's above IT, actually.
But haven't you ever talked to, like, someone who's in their, I'll just use 70s or 80s as just sort of a blanket, but somebody who's obviously lived most of their life, who even before this, with the advent of just everything moving to electronics, right? Electronic banking, right? Where before it was all, you know, you could touch and feel. But just the notion of everything being digital and online, that they lamented this from the beginning. They're like, I don't like where this is headed.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the biggest manifestation of it here. A company of this size that can get hacked so easily like this. And if you go into any of those casinos, like, it's startling to see, like, the signs they have to put up, like, hey, sorry, we're diligently trying to go after this, but we don't know. And imagine the people who are here just for the week. Stepping into that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a concert. Don't quote me. I don't know the guy's name. I'm sorry. He's a real popular guy that canceled this week. Kelly?
Ed Sheeran.
I knew that you would know that for some reason. But so Ed Sheeran's a big, just like sold out show, I'm guessing?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Kelly was going to go. I want to know. Sold out.
We'll stand in a line for hours.
No, but like, that was an electronic issue or something. He was there because he was signing autographs in the stadium for a lot of the fans. But people plan, like he just said, people came here just to see.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, concerts, people come here just for concerts.
Wait, so the show got scrapped?
Yes.
The whole show got scrapped.
There was an electric there was an electric problem where they couldn't get the stage to settle, where they couldn't fix it. The hydro problems or lifts or they couldn't get the stage right. And he got it canceled. Yeah, people were really hurt.
Yeah.
Like he's a big star.
Oh, sure.
And people were really upset about him not being able to.
Well, at least it wasn't his fault. There's some.
No, it wasn't his. But it was an electrical. Look, their whole vacations.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Adele when people came here just for her.
Oh, yeah,
that weekend, and she canceled because she stubbed her toe or something.
Well, yeah, that was a little more. She had a little more reason to get the incoming than Ed Sheeran did. Yeah. She made a decision that wasn't so well received.
Right.
Anita Baker, Babyface, for those who are familiar with that little tangle as well. Some of these musical artists are divas beyond belief. We'll come back. Crack is in Survivor. We'll find out how he did week number one. That and more Unscripted right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.